Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
With T Wash. It's been a couple of weeks. I haven't been on here in a while, so I figure I'd get it jump started again. First thing I want to do is give a shout out to a couple of athletes who lost their lives this week. And I want to start off first by giving a shout out to the Miami Marlins, Jose Fernandez, who tragically lost his life in a boating accident. This guy was a beast on the mound. He was truly, besides Giancarlo Stanton, he was truly one of the bright spots of the team. He was a two-time MLB All-Star, 2013 Cy Young winner, and Rookie of the Year. And he had a career record of 38-17 with a career ERA of 2.58, and he had a total of 589 strikeouts. And like I said, he died tragically Sunday morning in a boating accident, and it was sudden. And his teammates taking it very hard right now. Matter of fact, the Marlins had a game the other day, and one of the leadoff hitters, he led the game off, D. Gordon, one of his best friends. And it was a touching moment. He hit a home run, and this guy, that was his first home run of the season. So, you know, that really meant something. And he rounded the bases, got home, you know, got the home plate and broke down crying. He got hugs from all his teammates, and they ushered him, you know, into the dugout. So it was really a touching, it was a beautiful moment. You know, he hit his very first home run of the season, the game, basically the game after his teammate, you know, lost his life. So, like I said, that's a beautiful thing, and this guy was a monster. He was a beast on the mound. And he'd be sorely missed. We also lost Jack Nicklaus, Hall of Fame golfer. And it's crazy because he was in the hospital going to have a cardiac procedure done, but he never made it to the table, you know, to get it taken care of. He passed away, and everyone knows Arnold Palmer. I drank his tea. He had some good tea. And he'll be missed. So I just wanted to give a shout out to those guys. But today's show, we're going to be doing a recap of the third week of the NFL season. Football is back. I'm loving it. For sure you guys are too. We're going to break down the college football top 25, and then we're going to do the MLB rundown. You know, talk about the teams, the division leaders, and the wild card participants as of now. So, like I say, it's been 2 weeks. It feels good to be back on the air. And it'd be nice if you guys give me a call so we can talk about some sports. So I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to get right to it. you know what that music means. That means it's time to talk about some football. It feels good to have the NFL season back in the swing of things. And we're going to start off by talking about the standings as of right now. And first, we'll start with the AFC East, where my New England Patriots, of course, are winning the division 3-0. Then you have the Jets, you have the Dolphins, and the Bills following behind at 1-2. AFC West, you got the Broncos, surprisingly, because I really didn't think Trevor Siemian had it in him like this, but he evidently does. I mean, we already know the defense is top-notch. The defense is good enough to get them to the Super Bowl again, but they're leading the division at 3-0, AFC West. You have the Chiefs at 2-1. You have the Raiders, my pick to win that division, at 2-1. And then you have the Chargers following up the rear at 1-2. AFC North, you got the Ravens leading the way at 3-0. You have the Steelers at 2-1. You got the Bengals at 1-2. And you got the Cleveland Browns at 0-3. AFC South, you got the Texans at 2-1. The Titans at 1-2. The Indianapolis Colts at 1-2. And the very disappointing Jacksonville Jaguars at 0-3. I had them pegged to win the AFC South. And I put a lot of stock in those guys, and they really disappointed me. I really expected them to be better than they are. But as of right now, they really suck. So we'll see if Jacksonville can turn it around, maybe make my pick of them winning the AFC South, you know, right. They really want to dig themselves out of the hole if they plan on winning the division. In the NFC, you got the surprising Eagles leading the NFC East at 3-0. 3-0. You got the Giants at 2-1. You got the Cowboys at 2-1. And you got the Redskins at 1-2. NFC West, and I'm so used to them being St. Louis again, because you know they started off in L.A., then they moved to St. Louis, now they moved back to L.A. So the L.A. Rams are 2-1 leading the NFC West. The Seahawks are 2-1. With the Niners at 1-2, and surprisingly, the Cardinals at 1-2 in last place. That won't be long, but they're at 1-2. Then the NFC North, you got the Minnesota Vikings, 3-0. Green Bay Packers, 2-1. The Lions, 1-2. And, of course, the Chicago Bears following up the rear at 0-3. And in the NFC South, you got the Falcons leading the way at 2-1. You got the Tampa Bay Bucks at 1-2. Carolina Panthers at 1-2, and New Orleans Saints at 0-3. So those are the division stats. Now we're going to go into these games. And if you want to call and talk about any of these football games that happened, or you want to talk about college football, top 25, Major League Baseball, talk about a little basketball, we can talk NBA, it doesn't matter. Hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. As far as football, we're going to start off with my squad, the New England Patriots, Thursday night football, last Thursday. No one expected them to beat the Texans with a rookie quarterback, but they did. I mean, what do you say? Belichick, he gets on my nerves sometimes, but he's a hell of a coach, but sometimes he does stupid stuff, in my opinion, too, you know, with me being a fan and watching them for years and years. And he does dumb things, too. But for the most part, he gets it right. And for them to dominate the Texans 27-0 with a rookie quarterback, your third-string quarterback, I mean, that says a lot. You know, it's looking real good that they're going to end up going into that Cleveland game, which I will be attending, at 4-0 for Brady's return. There's a good chance of that. They still have to deal with Buffalo this up and coming Sunday, because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. We don't know if it's going to be the youngster, because he supposedly tore ligaments in his thumb, so they don't know, you know, if he's going to play or not. They say he practiced. Garoppolo, he messed up his shoulder, so we don't know if he's going to be able to go. And the emergency quarterback is wide receiver Julian Edelman, who did play quarterback when he was in college at Kent State. How beautiful would that be? And how you Patriot haters would hate it if Julian Edelman was to get the start at quarterback and beat the Buffalo Bills, I could see it now. You haters would be, oh, my goodness, you haters would be just saying all kinds of stuff. I mean, you really wouldn't have anything to say because if they were to beat the Buffalo Bills with their emergency quarterback, I mean, what do you say? Even the haters got to appreciate what the Patriots do. But LeGarrette Blount, he had a strong game. 24 carries, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The rookie quarterback, Brissett, he had 103 pass yards, 48 rush yards, and he had like a 27-yard rushing touchdown. So, and that Patriot defense put in work. I mean, they shut down Houston. The Texans couldn't do anything. J.J. Watt was missing. Osweiler passed for 196 pass yards and had an interception. Lamar Miller, the running back, you know, one of our former nemesis because he was the starting running back for Miami Dolphins. He played with the Dolphins for a few years, so I've seen plenty of Lamar Miller. He's a pretty good back. He was the only bright spot for the Texans. He had 80 yards rushing. But that's really about it. That Patriot defense shut them down. There was nothing they could do. They really couldn't pass the ball. They really couldn't run the ball significantly. They didn't get the ball over midfield until the third quarter. So that just tells you the job that that Patriot defense did. So they played good in every phase of the game. They forced 2 turnovers. The special team forced 2 turnovers. The offense pretty much ran the ball down the Texans' throat, and their defense basically shut them down and made plays. So it was an all-around great game for the Patriots. Like I said, who are 3-0, looking to go 4-0 this Sunday when they play the Bills in Foxborough. The Bills don't have a lot of success in Foxborough. They normally don't win there. They normally have a better chance of winning when they play in Orchard Park, New York. But the game is in Foxborough. So even if they were to start Julian Edelman at quarterback, I believe that the Patriots are going to beat Buffalo. And like I said, how beautiful would that be to have all you Patriot haters just despise the Pats even more and more, you know, with them winning with third-string quarterbacks, second-string quarterbacks, emergency quarterbacks. I mean, that would be sweet for all Patriot fans, and it would be loathsome for all Patriot haters. But that's enough about my Pats. I just had to, you know, start off with that game. And if you want to call and talk about any of these games, hey, if you want to call and talk about my Pats, Patriot haters, I welcome you to call 1-516-453-9117. The next game was a surprising one, and that was the Arizona Cardinals traveling to Orchard Park, New York, team I was just talking about, Buffalo Bills, and getting spanked, 33-18. Carson Palmer, and this is why I don't have any belief in the Arizona Cardinals as far as being a Super Bowl contender, you know, or a team that could make it out of the NFC, because I just have no faith in Carson Palmer when it matters most. I mean, he'll play a good regular season for you, but in the playoffs, he just turns into a big dud. He just doesn't do anything. The Buffalo Bills defense turned him over. He threw 4 interceptions. He had 287 pass yards. John Brown was really the only bright spot for the team. He had 70 receiving yards. The running back, Johnson, he's pretty good. He put in work a little bit. But LeSean McCoy was the star of the game for the Bills. 110 rush yards, 2 touchdowns. Tyrod Taylor made plays with his feet and also his arm. So it was all around good game for the Bills. It was, you know, it could be like a confidence booster, you know, to help them as they come into Foxborough on Sunday. And, of course, Rex Ryan, you know, they got the win. You know, now, you know, his bravado, he's talking smack. You know, just being Rex Ryan, why I really can't stand him. You know, but it'd be even sweet if the Pats could beat them on Sunday. But, you know, the Bills did a good job. They, like I said, they basically whooped up on the Cardinals. And like I said, I just don't have any faith in Carson Palmer. Cardinals are a lot of people's Super Bowl pick this year. Until Carson Palmer could, you know, prove that he can do it in the playoffs, I'm not going to put them in that mix. Okay, and then you got the Raiders. Like I said, one of my surprise teams before the beginning of the season I picked them to win the AFC West. They beat the Tennessee Titans 17-10. Derek Carr threw for 249 passing yards and one touchdown. Michael Crabtree had 102 receiving yards. And this was a game that the Raiders almost blew. They almost allowed the Titans to come back and tie the game to send it to overtime. But that Raiders defense made a play to basically neglect the Titans from coming back and tying the game. But DeMarco Murray had 114 rush yards and one touchdown. So he was the bright spot for the team. Mariota did a decent job, but he had a couple turnovers also. The next game was the Cleveland Browns against the Miami Dolphins, and this game went to overtime. Terrell Pryor was a one-man wrecking crew for the Cleveland Browns because going into the game, they started rookie Cody Kessler out of USC, and they basically did a platoon. Hugh Jackson did a platoon. He platooned Terrell Pryor and Cody Kessler at the quarterback spot, while also Pryor played receiver. He played running back. He did some of everything. They even put him on defense a couple of snaps. So Terrell Pryor had a great game. He had like 35 yards rushing. I think he made like a 27 to 30-yard pass to tight end Gary Barnage. And then he also had 144 receiving yards. So that's what I'm saying. Terrell Pryor put in work. And it's really sad because they should have won the game. You know, they got their offense. The offense got the team down in field goal kicking range, you know, to win the game. And their kicker, Cody Parkey, who had missed two field goals already, missed the field goal that would have won the game. And, you know, of course, the Dolphins came back in overtime and won the game off a touchdown by the running back Ajayi. He won the game. And it was messed up because they showed Terrell Pryor on the sideline. He was really angry, which I don't blame him. I mean, he did all that work. This guy, like I said, he was a one-man wrecking crew. And the Browns actually deserved to win that game. But that's just how unlucky the Cleveland Browns are. It seemed like nothing goes their way. Ryan Tannehill finished the game with 319 passing yards and three touchdowns. 1-516-453-9117. If you want to call in and talk about these NFL games from this past weekend or Thursday night's game with the New England Patriots and the Texans, or we want to talk college football, we want to talk Major League Baseball, that's getting ready to get good because it's coming down to the end where we're going to get the playoffs. This is really the only time that I'm truly interested in baseball is when it get, you know, get down to the time where it's going to be the wild card and be the divisional rounds and, you know, the championship rounds. This is, like, really the only time I really don't mind talking baseball. The next game was the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, like I said, are very disappointing to me because I had high hopes for the Jaguars this year going into the season. They tricked me. The Ravens win the game 19-17. Joe Flacco had 214 pass yards, two interceptions, and that old tough man Steve Smith had 87 receiving yards. Blake Bortles, you know, I'm expecting him to have like an all-pro season because of what he did last year with those two receivers, both Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. Bortles passed for 194 yards, two touchdowns, both to Allen Robinson, who had 57 receiving yards, but he also had three interceptions. So it's like, come on, man. You know, I really expected that Jacksonville defense to be good and be able to stop people. You know, Dante Fowler came back. They had Ramsey at the cornerback. They picked up Malik Jackson, gave him all that money. You really expected that defense to be much better, but their defense has been giving up a lot of points these last 3 weeks. I mean, I guess 19 to the Ravens is not bad, but they lost, and they're 0-3. They're in a deep hole. And like I said, I picked them to win the division. I picked them as a surprise team. But, yeah, surprise on me. They 0-3, and I don't think they're going to get out of that hole unless they just go on a hellified winning streak. The next game you have is the Detroit Lions traveling to Green Bay. I don't know what's been wrong with the Packers, but they actually let the Lions come back in this game. They were, like, destroying the Lions at the half. I guess you could say Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson got a connection again. You know, they're working on it. You know, Jordy coming back off of ACL. You just can't come back off of ACL and be the same way you normally was. So I'd say by midseason, Jordy Nelson will be back to his normal form. But he had a good game in this game. The Aaron Rodgers passed for 205 yards. He had four touchdowns. Eddie Lacy rushed for 103 rushing yards. Jordy Nelson had 101 receiving yards and two touchdowns. And like I said, they were really winning this game, but that Packer defense let the Lions right back in it. They basically let one guy kill them. Well, I guess I could say two. Matt Stafford almost passed for 400 yards. Stafford passed for 385 passing yards and three touchdowns. Two of those touchdowns was to Marvin Jones, who just couldn't be covered. I mean, he destroyed that Green Bay secondary. Marvin Jones had 205 receiving yards and two touchdowns and gave me 46 points in my fantasy football league. In the main league, my money league, Marvin Jones gave me 46 points, and that 46 points helped me win this week. So thank you, Marvin Jones, for producing out of the many guys that didn't produce for me. Okay, the Denver Broncos traveled into Cincinnati, and I thought that the Broncos would lose this game because Cincinnati is a tough place to play, and to have a second-year quarterback go in there and do what he did, that could be a scary thing for the rest of that league because we know that Bronco defense, they're the truth. That defense is still a Super Bowl defense. But Trevor Siemian passed for 312 yards. He had four touchdowns. Yes, Trevor Siemian had four touchdowns. He had a couple of them that were long, too. Emmanuel Sanders had a good day, 117 receiving yards and two touchdowns. The Bengals, Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton, you know. He's kind of like a Carson Palmer. Until he prove it, I'm not going to believe that they're going to get far. I mean, they'll win. They'll win in the regular season. They'll make the playoffs, but the Bengals' issue is they lose in the first round every year. So if I was a Bengals fan, I wouldn't even care about the regular season. To me, it would be all about what you do in the playoffs. But Jeremy Hill was their bright spot. 97 rush yards and two touchdowns. But once again, Trevor Siemian, if he can maintain this level and be a little bit more than a game manager, the Broncos might be scary, man. Like I said, 312 passing yards and four touchdowns. Trevor Siemian looked good. And, you know, as a Patriots fan, the Broncos are really the only team I worry about as long as the Broncos got home field. But if the Patriots got home field, then we'd be okay because, like, the Patriots, it's hard for them to win in Denver. It's equally hard for the Denver to win in Foxborough. So, really, depending on, you know, if both these teams can stay healthy, whoever gets home field is more likely going to go to the Super Bowl and represent the AFC, in my opinion. It'll be either New England or the Broncos. Whichever team get home field advantage, that's the team that more likely will go back to the Super Bowl. If you want to call and talk about any of these football games, 1-516-453-9117. Next game we got is the Minnesota Vikings. Man, they've been a surprise, and they did a number on the Panthers. But they went into Carolina and beat the Panthers 22-10. And, man, that Vikings defense is no joke. I mean, these dudes, they sacked Cam Newton eight times. Picked them off three times. Cam Newton had 262 passing yards. Greg Olsen had 64 receiving yards. And my man, Kelvin Benjamin, a guy I have in fantasy, a guy that always gives me numbers, did not have one catch. all Kelvin Benjamin owners out there in fantasy, I'm pretty sure you were mad just like me when after that game you saw Kelvin Benjamin name and it says 0.00. They shut Cam and Kelvin Benjamin down. I didn't think that would be able to happen. But him being sacked 8 times tells you he didn't have no time to get rid of the ball or anything. That Vikings defense, if Denver's won, they're 1A. I mean, both of those defenses are great. And like I said, the Vikings, they also got a spark out of Kyle Rudolph, tight end. He has 70 receiving yards and 1 touchdown. And Sam Bradford's been looking good. I mean, honestly, this is the most talent that Sam Bradford has ever played with. And he had 171 passing yards and 1 touchdown. The thing is with Bradford is he going to stay upright the whole season? Because that's been his issue since he's been in the league. He's injury prone. He can throw the ball. He's always been one of the better quarterbacks as far as throwing the ball, making all the throws needed. He can throw the ball at all levels, short, intermediate, long, it doesn't matter. But the key for Sam Bradford is they can keep him upright. If they can keep him healthy, the Vikings might do something special this year because their defense is just monstrous. And like I said, they sacked Cam Newton 8 times, man. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before to Cam Newton because he's mobile. Cam Newton can move. So how did he get sacked 8 times? That just shows the ferociousness and the quickness of that Viking defense. And like I said, they didn't give him time to throw the ball. That got to be the reason why Kelvin Benjamin didn't have one catch, at least one, because Cam had no time to throw him the ball. Now, this was one of the best games of the day, the Washington Redskins visiting the New York Giants. Yeah, Mr. Eli Manning, lucky Eli. You know, he's my nemesis because, you know, he's the Patriot killer. Now, haters, you can like, you know, I know all you haters like that. You can talk about that. Eli Manning is the Patriot killer because all the miracle plays happen when they play us. But anyway, the Redskins beat the Giants 29-27, and Kirk Cousins had his best game, throwing for 296. 2 touchdowns, one of those touchdowns was to Deshaun Jackson. They connected on the 45-yard touchdown pass, one of them long, deep ones. And Deshaun Jackson finished the game with 96 receiving yards. And, you know, this was touted as, you know, the matchup, part two of the matchup between Odell Beckham Jr. and Josh Norman. You know, it wasn't like it was last year. They weren't, you know, diving at each other with their helmets and, but, you know, it was some shenanigans. You know, it's one time Josh Norman, Odell Beckham Jr. jumped in the air and Josh Norman, like, grabbed him and held him up in the air. But there's one move that Odell Beckham did to him, man. It was like a punk move. He punked him out. Odell Beckham caught the ball, put a move on Josh Norman, stiff-armed his face and, like, knocked him to the ground off that stiff arm. It was sweet. Odell Beckham Jr., you know, he had the better day. He had 121 receiving yards. So he had a good day. But he was over on the sideline crying, and it's crazy, man. He's getting too emotional. He's crying and stuff and going off. But, you know, Eli Manning was missing them. He's having a good day. Eli Manning missed some throws, though. So it was frustrating him. He wanted to make plays. He's passionate. He really wanted to beat the Redskins, and I know he really wanted to beat Josh Norman. So he was really passionate about the situation. But Eli Manning passed for 350 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 picks. So not so much of a great game for Eli. And they should have won that game because they were winning. Point, they were winning that game. I think it was 19-3 they were winning the game. And they allowed the Redskins to come back. The next game had the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Tampa to take on the Buccaneers. Todd Gurley had 85 rush yards and 2 touchdowns. And I'm just wondering, when are they going to give this Goff kid a chance? Because I want to see if he's going to be good at the NFL level. I mean, honestly, he wasn't that great to me in California. But he got drafted number one. It's like, you drafted number one, won't you give him a shot? But Jeff Fisher, mediocre coach, you know, he decided to go with Case Keenum as his starter. Jameis Winston had a good game, but it was a losing effort. He passed for 405 yards, had three touchdowns. Mike Evans had 132 receiving yards and one touchdown. So those two put in work. Unfortunately, that Buccaneer defense couldn't stop the Rams. The Rams went out of there, left out of there with a win, 37-32. Next game had the San Francisco 49ers going up to the Great Northwest, take on the Seattle Seahawks. Carlos Hyde rushed for 103 yards and had two touchdowns on behalf of the 49ers, you know, who's still going with Blaine Gabbert over Colin Kaepernick. You know, and like I said, I like what Colin Kaepernick, I love the stand Colin Kaepernick's making, you know, because it's true. But I really think he's going to be blackballed. I don't think he's going to play quarterback no more. And, I mean, come on, man. Blaine Gabbert is your quarterback. I still believe Kaepernick should be better than him. But that's saying something, though. If you can't beat out Blaine Gabbert, that's saying something. And truthfully, I believe once Jim Harbaugh left the 49er organization, it's like Kaepernick's game just went out the door with him. Because now it's like ever since Harbaugh left, Kaepernick can't play anymore. But Russell Wilson passed for 243 yards. He threw one touchdown. Christian Michael rushed for 106 yards and two touchdowns. And Doug Baldwin, he's continuing on his season from last year because he had a great year last season. He had 164 receiving yards and one touchdown. Russell Wilson was injured, so, you know, he's been playing hurt. And Jimmy Graham had a decent game. You know, I mean, and like I said before the season started, if Jimmy Graham could play anywhere near the level he played in New Orleans, Seattle's going to be back in the mix. And I'm talking about making the Super Bowl run. If Jimmy Graham could give them any of that type of production he gave New Orleans, Seattle's going to be one of the teams to beat. The next game you have the Jets traveled to Kansas City to take on the Chiefs, and they got a royal butt whoop. The Chiefs beat the Jets 24-3. And this guy, you know, now they're debating whether they should start Geno Smith. And that's bad, man, when you debating whether you should go back to Geno Smith. Geno. Hey, Geno! Fitzpatrick had 188 pass yards and threw six interceptions, man. This dude threw six interceptions. Six! Matt Forte had 65 rush yards. So they shut the Jets down, man. Alex Smith passed for 237 yards, one touchdown. Spencer Ware had 75 rush yards, and Travis Kelce had 89 receiving yards, and one touchdown. But really, the highlight of this game was Ryan Fitzpatrick and his six interceptions, man. Yeesh. That's just horrible quarterbacking. But that's also a good defense, too. The Chiefs have a good defense, too, especially when they play in an Arrowhead. Yeah, the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Chargers, San Diego Chargers. And the Colts win the game 26-22. The Colts defense is depleted. They got a lot of injuries. But my issue with the Colts is their offensive line. You know, they play good in spots during that Charger game. But I'm still seeing the same issues as always. The amount of protection that franchise, $140 million man, Andrew Luck got, who passed for 331 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Frank Gore rushed for 82 yards, one touchdown. T.Y. Hilton had a game, 174 receiving yards and one touchdown. As for old man River, Phillip Rivers, who's still balling out there, man. He keep losing people to injury. He lost Danny Woodhead. He lost Allen. And he keep losing people. And then Antonio Gates is getting older, and he didn't even play in that game. But this guy still passed for 330 yards. Travis Benjamin had 82 receiving yards. I don't know. I'm just curious to see. You know, the Colts take on Jacksonville this weekend in London. So, will Jacksonville get their first win? Or will the Colts send them to 4-0 and have some kind of rhythm going? Because, I don't know, it's hard to judge the Colts right now because their defense is not intact. But they've never had a strong defense, so why should I believe they're going to have one now? The next game was the surprise game of the day, man. Steelers traveled into Philadelphia to take on the Eagles in the Battle of Pennsylvania. You know, the Eagles destroyed the Steelers 34-3. And this rookie, man, Carson Wentz, he's looking like a seasoned veteran out there, man. And I know Cleveland got to be kicking themselves because they didn't take him. He was right there. They could have took him. He was right there at number two for Cleveland to take, and they didn't take him. But this guy passed for 301 yards, two touchdowns. Darren Sproles had a game, 128 receiving yards and one touchdown. Roethlisberger didn't have a great game, 257 pass yards, one touchdown. And Antonio Brown had the most meaningless amount of yards ever received. He had 140 receiving yards. That's good for fantasy owners, but that 140 receiving yards didn't make a difference because they only scored 3 points. So that Eagle defense played great. And then this rookie, like I said, Carson Wentz, he's already putting his name on that Rookie of the Year trophy after week three. So I'm curious to see what the rest of their schedule is going to look like and see how far this rookie can take him. Because he's looking good. Chicago Bear fans, I'm sorry, man. You guys suck. They took on the Cowboys in Jerry World. The Cowboys won 31-17. You know what's crazy? Brian Hoyer actually looked better than Jay Cutler out there. 317 pass yards, two touchdowns. Zach Miller, he had 78 receiving yards and two touchdowns. So both touchdowns were to the tight end. Dak Prescott, another good rookie that's shining. You know, shining so well, you know, Jerry Jones saying that it's Tony Romo's job when he get back. But Dak Prescott got to be making it difficult. He has to be making this a difficult decision, even when Tony Romo come back. Because we don't know how long Tony Romo's going to be back, because he's another older, injury-prone quarterback. But Dak Prescott had 248 pass yards, one touchdown. He had his first passing touchdown to Dez Bryant, who had 40 receiving yards. Rookie Ezekiel Elliott rushed for 140 yards. So he had a good game. He didn't get in his zone, but he was effective running the ball. And like I said, Prescott is another one of those rookies. He was looking good. Who's shining? You know, it gives – it's looking like the Eagles and the Cowboys have a good future at quarterback. And the good news is these teams are in the same division, so we'll get to see them play against each other for years to come. And then you got the Monday night game that had the Atlanta Falcons traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints. And that Mercedes Dome, that used to be a place where the Saints were unbeatable. But over the last 3 years, they're not unbeatable at all anymore at that Dome. They lose games at the Dome, and that's because their defense is putrid. I mean, Drew Brees literally has to outscore every opponent. That's how bad their defense is. And speaking of Drew Brees, he threw for 376 pass yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Mark Ingram rushed for 77 yards. And former Colt tight end, Cody Fleener, had 109 receiving yards and one touchdown. The Falcons, Matt Ryan had 240 pass yards, two touchdowns. Devontae Freeman, another one of my fantasy gems, had 152 rush yards. He also had 55 receiving yards and one pass, one touchdown he caught, you know, as a reception. So he had a game on him. Backup running back Tevin Coleman had 42 rush yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. So the Falcons just dominated them. At first, it was kind of a shootout. And then once the Falcons got a couple of defensive stops on the Saints, that was it. They were able to pull away. And that's all it takes. All it takes is for you to get one stop on that Saint offense. And more than likely, you're going to win the game because that Saints defense is not going to stop your offense. So that was basically the breakdown of the NFL Week 3. We're going to get into some college football, the top 25. I want to take a break if you want to call in and talk about this past week of NFL football, if you want to talk about college football or Major League Baseball or any sport, then you can hit me up at 1-516-453-9117.
Nobody told me you could die like this. Nobody told me you could die from bliss, yeah. Nobody told me, nobody told me. We never ever saw it coming on, no.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we never saw it coming on, no.
Live it up, live it up.
They jumpin' shit, man, they was never on board. I got enemies, man, they wanna see me on the floor. I got frenemies, couldn't even tell you who they are. If you're not driven by the mission, you'll be driven by the cause. Focus on what you beginning, more than becoming who you are. I tried to point them to the sun, but why they calling me a star?
Alright, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. Now we're gonna get into this AP Top 25 college football poll. All right, and number one, you got, of course, the Alabama Crimson Tide. I mean, as long as Nick Saban there, they're going to always be in the mix for a playoff berth or for a national championship. The Alabama Crimson Tide are kind of like New England Patriots. Just no matter what, they're going to always be there in the end. And at number two, you got the Ohio State Buckeyes. I didn't really think they would be all that great because I didn't know how good JT Barrett would be. But he's been putting up numbers. He's been doing good. That Buckeye defense looks good. And it's going to be interesting to see how far they can go. And number three, you got Louisville with that guy, that quarterback that's taking the country by storm, Lamar Jackson. This guy's been a beast, man. I mean, look what he did to Florida State. I'm not going to get over that. Guy has 6 touchdowns. 4 of them rushing against Florida State. They destroyed Florida State, 64-20. And Florida State was ranked number 3. And they got a big game coming up this weekend on Saturday. I'm going to make sure I record it. Louisville's going to be playing Clemson, who happens to be number 5 in the country right now. You know what? Who was the Heisman front runner, the preseason Heisman pick, Deshaun Watson. Another good quarterback who's a dual threat. So it's going to be interesting seeing this Louisville-Clemson game. I think it might be a shootout, but it's definitely going to be a showcase between the two quarterbacks. And it's cool that it's two brothers that's getting all this attention, Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. I'm looking forward to watching that game on Saturday and see what's going to come from it. Number 4, you got the Michigan Wolverines. Jim Harbaugh putting in work in the Big Ten, you know, but their hurdle was going to be, as usual, the Buckeyes of Ohio State. That's their rival. That's who they want to dethrone in the Big Ten. Michigan may have a chance to do it, but, I mean, we have to find out. I'm curious to know where the game is. I don't know where the game is. If the game is in the Big House, in Ann Arbor, then the Wolverines have a chance. But the game is at the Horseshoe in Columbus, and the Buckeyes more than likely probably going to win. So I don't know. And then in number five, like I said, you got the Clemson Tigers, Deshaun Watson, enough said. I said he's going to have a big challenge this weekend when they face off against Louisville. At number six, you got Houston, the Houston Cougars, with Gary Ward Jr., another brother that's a quarterback. He's pretty good. You know, they got decent-sized receivers. Their offense makes plays. And occasionally their defense makes some plays. So Houston's at number six. And number seven, you got Stanford with that guy, Christian McCaffrey, who I believe will be the perfect fit for the New England Patriots because he does it all. And I would love for the Patriots to draft him, but they're not going to have a draft pick that high to get this kid. But Stanford's number seven right now. At number eight, you got the Wisconsin Badgers. They're kind of like flip-flopping their quarterbacks. But that Badger defense is good. Their running back is pretty decent. And, you know, beginning the opening week of college football season, they upset LSU in Green Bay, the Packers Stadium at Lambeau Field. Number nine, you got Texas A&M. I don't know much about Texas A&M. I haven't seen them play. But I'm assuming the AP has them ranked as number nine team in the country, and they must be good. Number 10, Washington, another team I don't know much about. Pac-10 team. They're at number 10, and they're undefeated at 4-0. And I honestly say, you know, I don't know much about them either. But I'll just say the same thing I said with Texas A&M. The AP has them in the top 10, so they must be pretty decent. And number 11, you got Tennessee. They're 4-0. They play in the SEC. I really don't know how good they are either. See, a lot of these teams I really don't know, and I'm honest. I'm honest. If I don't know much about them, I'll let you know. But they're 4-0, and they're ranked number 11. Number 12 is Florida State, who got some players. You know, they got Dalvin Cook, one of the best running backs in the country. But that beating that, and it's crazy because they were number three. So basically they flip-flopped with Louisville. They were number three when Louisville throttled them 64-20. And now they dropped to number 12. So, and that's the only loss they have. They're 3-1. So they really have some making up to do. Baylor comes in at number 13. And I don't know much about their players, but I know they got an explosive offense and they have an opportunistic defense. And number 14, you got the Miami Hurricanes, who are trying to come back to prominence. You know all about the U in the past. They were always one of the top teams. But we have to see how they turn out. Dang it. Yeah, we have to see how they turn out. A couple more teams. Nebraska. Nebraska comes in at number 15. You know, the Huskers got a long tradition of being good. Big Ten team. I'm a Big Ten guy, but I don't know much about their team either. But they're coming in at number 15 in the country. Number 16 is Ole Miss. Oh, they're 16, and they got a 2-2 record. I don't understand that. But they come in at 16, and they were ranked 23 last week. How did they go up? I don't understand that. I mean, they challenged Alabama, but in the end, Alabama pulled away. It was good at first. I'm not understanding how they ranked number 16 in the country with a 2-2 record. Number 17, you got Michigan State. Tough Big Ten team, tough-minded coach. They're usually always there in the end. They'll be one of the top teams in the Big Ten. Number 18, you got Utah. Number 19, you got San Diego State. Number 20, Arkansas. 21, TCU. Texas comes in at 22. Florida comes in at 23. Boise State at 24. And Georgia, with the return of Nick Chubb, comes in at 25. And Nick Chubb, he like tore his knee up real bad last year. He tore it up so bad they didn't expect him to be able to come back at all. But he came back and he's been playing at a high level. Because before he got hurt, he was one of the best running backs in the country. And something that I noticed, Notre Dame is not even in the top 25 anymore. And their coach, Brian Kelly, has to be on the hot seat, man. I mean, they lost to Duke in South Bend. How often does that happen? Not happen much at all. So he may be in some trouble. So that's basically the college top 25. It's like a mini breakdown of it. If you want to talk about some of these NFL games that happened this week, or you want to talk about college top 25 or baseball, basketball, whatever sport you want to talk about, you get me up at 1-516-453-9117. I think the next topic I'm going to talk about is going to be this MLB, Major League Baseball. I'll do a Major League Baseball rundown after I take this break. Welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. We'll get into Major League Baseball now. In American League, the division leaders, you have the Texas Rangers at 93-65. You got the Boston Red Sox at 92-65. Coming out of AL East, Texas coming out of AL West. And then in the AL Central, you got the Cleveland Indians at 91-66. Okay, your wild card spots as of right now. The Blue Jays got the first spot at 87-70. Baltimore Orioles got that second spot right now at 85-72. But Detroit Tigers are right there, a game back at 84-73. The Seattle Mariners are right there at a game and a half back, 84-72. Houston Astros, they still got a shot. 83-76. The Yankees still have a shot. 81-76. Four games back. The Royals, they five games back, so they kind of have a shot at 80-77, but they're a long shot. But the Yankees, Astros, Mariners, and Tigers actually got a legit shot. Two wild card spots from either Toronto or the Orioles. So it's going to be interesting when it comes down to the last few weeks of the season here you know, see who's going to get these wild cards and get this playoffs going. Like I said, this is really like the only time I can talk baseball is when it starts getting close to playoff time, because that's when, you know, it gets exciting. You know, I don't mind watching a 9-inning game, you know, during the playoffs. But during the regular season, I just can't watch it on TV. It's too long. Now, I could go to the game. I can go and watch it live. But as far as, like, watching on TV, I just can't do it. It's too long. In the National League, everybody's favorite, you know, Chicago Cubs. I mean, they basically owned the NL Central. 1-1 and 56 record. The Washington Nationals, they have the NL East sold up at 92-65. And the L.A. Dodgers are basically leading the NL West right now, 90-67. It's looking like they're going to have that locked up because it seems like the Giants are too many games back to catch them for the division lead. But right now, your wild cards in the National League are the New York Mets at 84-74 and the San Francisco Giants at 83-74. So they're literally a half game back. And then you got those scary Cardinals, man. It's like no matter what, if the Cardinals get in the playoffs, they're kind of like the New York Giants in football, man. They go on a magical run. I mean, it don't matter what type of players they have. If the Cardinals get in, they're going to make a run. So if I was these upper-level teams, if I was the Cubs, especially the Cubs because that's their rival, even though they kind of had their way with the Cardinals this year, playoffs is a whole different ball game, and the pressure is going to be on the Cubs to do good in the playoffs because all those people in Chicago are dying for them to win a World Series. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Chicago Cubs to get it done. And like I said, I believe the Cubs are going to get there out of the National League. At the same time, in the American League, I'm rooting for the Cleveland Indians to get there because I want to see the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs play in the World Series for it all. And I would actually root for the Cubs, even though I'm a White Sox guy. But I would root for the Cubs because it's time. I mean, the White Sox got a championship in 2004. It's time for the Cubs to get one. So, you know, just out of sympathy, I would root for the Cubs to get a championship. But I want to see them play the Cleveland Indians. I just believe that would be a good series. And then, you know, look, I mean, it would just be a beautiful thing. You know, two teams, you know, who won a World Series bad, you know, basically – playing for it. So I can see that. But like I said, the Cardinals are right there for one of those wild card spots. They're a game behind the Mets and the Giants at 82-75. Then you got the Miami Marlins at 78-79. They're five games back. So realistically, the Cardinals have a chance to jump one of these two teams that's in the wild card spots now, the Mets or the Giants. I don't think the Marlins and the Pirates or the Rockies have a shot. It's too far back. You know, so if the Cardinals get in, man, I truly believe it's going to be interesting. And, you know, we have to see. But this is like the best time for baseball, in my opinion. Playoff time, wild cards. Postseason is going to be starting up here next week. That's when we get the wild cards and the series. You know, the division rounds, and then we'll get the championship round, then eventually the World Series. And like I said, hopefully the Cubs and the Indians will be there. That's who I'm rooting for. All right, so that was basically a rundown of MLB. I'm going to be getting ready to close out the show here, but I'm going to start off with some sports history fact of the day. On this day, September 28th, 1996, Troy Davis of Iowa State ran for 378 yards. I remember that guy. He was a monster when he was in college, but he really didn't do much in the pros. But damn, he ran for 378 yards. Third highest in college football games. That's a lot of yards, man. You can run for damn near 400 yards. You put in work that day. I know that guy had to be iced down and everything. So that's basically the rundown of the MLB Sports History Fact of the Day. I gave you College Football Top 25. I did a recap of NFL Week 3. I'm about to get ready to close out the show. I want to thank you guys for listening. Like I said, it's been a couple weeks since I've been on here. And it feels good to get back on here and spew these sports facts and things out on here. As usual, I do this show every Saturday and every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. So if you ever feel free, you know, feel like you want to call and talk about sports, you can hit me up. Sports Chat with T-Wash, 1-516-453-9117. I want to thank you guys for listening, and hopefully see you next time.